Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
We do not care.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Patrick Peterson here on The Rich Eisen Show.
It's a must win. We still know that we're going to get their best shot. But like Coach said earlier in his press conference,
we do not care.
We can't care. We have to focus on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Earlier on the show, NBC Sunday Night Football analyst Chris Collinsworth. Coming up, ESPN college football analyst Kirk Herbstreit. Plus, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. What a great conversation we just had with Chris Collinsworth, who is firmly in the camp of the Super Bowl is there for the Ravens to take and for them to lose. He is firmly in that camp. He is all in on the Baltimore Ravens. And it's tough to not be, and there will be no being out on them this week because they're not playing a bunch of their starters, and then they're going to have an entire 2 weeks off for some of these guys, and then we are going to see what goes down in the first week of divisional playoff action when they might welcome in. Wow. They could welcome in the AFC South winner, right? They could welcome in the Cleveland Browns and Joe Flacco. They could welcome in the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. And they could welcome in whoever the heck finishes in the seventh seed, which could possibly also be the Buffalo Bills. It's so wild this week 18. I started the program with the top five wildest scenarios coming up of week number 18. If you missed it, there's a re-air as soon as we're done on the Roku channel. There's also our podcast. And there's also our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We appreciate everybody out there who takes in our show on any of those forms. Certainly our podcast, where you can also check out Overreaction Monday and also What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Their guest is Charles Davis of CBS. Hour number three, Tom Pelissero with the latest going on in the National Football League. We're still waiting on the availability of Trevor Lawrence for this game, correct?
Correct.
This could be a game time decision.
Feels like it.
Jaguars win in Tennessee, they win the division. They lose, they could be either in as a wild card or they could be out entirely. And again, as we mentioned earlier on in this program, the Denver Broncos Vegas Raiders result may actually be what decides Jacksonville's fate if they don't win that game in Tennessee, which again proves. Don't leave it up to somebody else. Overreaction Monday, as we mentioned, is a podcast. We do it every single Monday and Tuesday podcast. And right here on the show, we do a What's More Likely Friday as well. That's coming up in this hour. And as I mentioned, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. As I mentioned on Tuesday's show and Wednesday's show and Thursday's show. And now here I mention it on Friday's program. Spending the day in the Rose Bowl with Suze and the kids and my nephew Jack and the Stool Presidente and everybody else that was around me.
What was it, Joel? Joel Klatt was there.
Joel Klatt was behind me. Yeah. Truly one of the greatest days of my life. Where and part of that is because, again, I spent time in the press box in my senior year of college covering Bo Schembechler's final game and was able to point up to the booth and say, see that press box? I sat on the 50-yard line once. My next guest will be able to take his family to the national television booth in the Rose Bowl for the rest of his days and point to a plaque and say, see that plaque? That's in honor of us, our family. They named the national booth at the Rose Bowl. I'm getting goosebumps about it.
That's so cool.
After this man, because he is called almost, I guess a dozen plus Rose Bowl games, 15 to be exact, I think. I shouldn't give these numbers out without asking the man himself. After he called the Rose Bowl on Monday, he's calling the national championship again with Chris Fowler. He's also one of the voices of Thursday Night Football, Kirk Herbstreit, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Kirk?
I'm good, man. How are you?
How did it feel to go into the Rose Bowl booth and see your family's name on the wall? How was that?
It was pretty surreal. I mean, they last year, I think, was the first time that I actually saw it. It was, I mean, I like you, I grew up watching the Rose Bowl. It'd get dark outside around 4:30. It's gray. And you turn on the Rose Bowl, no matter who was playing in it, and you're just in awe of watching the Rose Bowl. And that was my view of it my whole life. And then to be able to get into broadcasting and one day call it, it's for me personally, I've had some neat stuff happen in my life as a broadcaster. That's the greatest honor I've ever received, is that when they named the booth after my family and I. And I just called my 16th, I just passed Keith for the most to ever do the Rose Bowl. So yeah, it's and then to be able to call that one, Chris and I always talk about which one's our favorite because we've called so many together. That was right up there with one of my favorite games maybe I've ever called, just because the two teams, the back and forth, the momentum swings, what both were trying to accomplish, Michigan with everything that they've been through, especially guys like Blake Corum and J.J. McCarthy and some of the veterans that have been on that team. You know, they had their breakthrough moment beating Ohio State in 21, and it was such a big celebration there in Ann Arbor. And only, a month later to go down to Miami, and I think they really put so much into beating Ohio State, it just wasn't quite the same team. And then they come back a year later, a lot of the same players, and they beat Ohio State again, and it's like, okay, now we go, and they're playing with it, on paper anyway, an inferior team in TCU, and they lose, and it's like, oh my gosh, come back a third time, they beat Ohio State again. But there was a different focus, as being such a Michigan fan, with these guys. Even when Jim was suspended early, when Jim was suspended late, the noise around the program. Sometimes you look at championship teams, whether it's the NFL or college football, There's a player-led focus that great teams have, and this Michigan team has had it this year. And I think it has not only to do with the successes and the great plays that they make and the talent that they have. I really think a lot of it has to do with the failures that they've been through and some of the heartache that they've dealt with collectively. And I think it got these guys laser-focused. I don't want to say they're just an autopilot, but man, these dudes are on a mission, and to be challenged the way they were, of all people, Nick Saban in Alabama, and to answer the call in overtime, it was cool. It was it's a great story, and we'll see, because you're playing a team that's kind of has the same mojo going for them. They've been doubted all year, and Washington always seems to find a way to win. So I think that's the fun part of Monday night. It's who can finally be the team that has the will to win that last game.
Well, I mean, and if I'm not mistaken, you and Chris called both Oregon-Washington contests this year, regular and Pac-12 championship game seasons. So how do you see this? And you just saw Michigan again firsthand right in front of you, and you saw how, Michigan's defense was in its bag, and so was Sherrone Moore offensively. The gotta-have-it drives, they were breaking tendencies left and right, making plays on offense. So how do you see Michigan and Washington matching up against each other, Kirk?
I think it's amazing how few people that talk about college football this time of year, how few people watch maybe the Pac-12 or Michael Penix. It was crazy to see. It was like a revelation that this guy, 9 in purple, he could spin it. It's like, yeah, that guy's been spinning it since he was in Bloomington like 5 years ago. So that's what he does. That's his strength, his accuracy. pinpoint accuracy, not just, you know, in this modern game. It's a lot of times it's behind the line of scrimmage. It's maybe 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. A lot of guys are completing 73% of their passes, 75%. Michael Penix has taken shots downfield. You know, he is a gunslinger, but with a great touch. And I tell you, I'm not comparing them to 2019 LSU with Burrow and Jefferson and Chase and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I think it's an offense from Washington that kind of fits into that type of offense, because you got a quarterback who's seen every defense, can make every throw consistently. And then you don't have just Roma Dunze, who'll be a first rounder. You got to deal with Jalen Polk. You got to deal with Jalen McMillan. You know, they've got an arsenal of receivers that are all going to be in the NFL. And then you got a really talented back who's banged up in Dylan Johnson, but a really good player. And then you got the Joe Moore Award winning offensive line. So there's just a lot to the offense. And how great of a matchup is it going to be with Jesse Minter and all that he does with, you know, show this and pre-snap and then go to this post-snap. That's going to be must-see TV, just watching that side of the ball, Washington and Penix and those receivers and what that offense is capable of doing against the defense of Michigan, and how complicated and how sophisticated they are and how well they disguise things. That to me is going to be the side of the ball that I think will determine things. And then you got J.J. McCarthy, who, as you know, you know, he doesn't seem to get quite the fanfare that some of the other quarterbacks out there get. Yet if you talk to NFL folks about his upside and his potential, there are a lot of people excited about what he could do and how he's potentially playing himself even into the first round with his ability to deliver football, the kind of offense that he's running. You know, they want to run the ball, as you know, but to play action game off of it. Trow Moore is, as you said, maybe one step ahead of the defenses that he faces. And I think Washington defensively is better than people realize. They've had a lot of injuries throughout most of this year, especially in the back end at safety. So be a hell of a game. I think it's going to be a great matchup. I think it's like a 31-27 kind of game is the way I would envision it. Who knows who's going to win it? But I'm down here in Houston already. Just got here yesterday and excited to go over and see the teams, go to practice and get to these meetings, get this thing going.
I am so fired up. I mean, literally listening to you talk about it. It is classic. 2 14-0 teams as well. Future Big Ten conference matchup, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like. Yeah. And again, I can't compute. You understand where I'm coming from as well, Kirk. You know, that I was texting with my Michigan buddies. Like, we currently live in a world where Michigan is considered better than Alabama and is one step away from having a right to claim that about everybody. You know, I can't believe it. And obviously, this could be Jim's last game there. We don't know. I don't know, right? I mean...
Because we
just don't know what a Lombardi trophy would mean to him, you know, and the lack of one, what it has meant to him right now. And then there's the fact that, you know, it does appear that he's handling everything so well at the collegiate level, but there's better rules for free agency in pro football. You know what I mean? I don't know what the world looks like for the next few years.
I don't think anyone can ever climb into his mind this time of year. I mean, every year it seems that there are some kind of rumors, you know, that he's headed back to the NFL. Maybe at one point it'll become true. Maybe if he climbs the mountain here this year with this team, because he has a special group, maybe this will be the end. I, as a college football fan, I hope not. I mean, I love him being in college. I think he adds to the storylines every single year. People, you know, it seems that he's very polarizing. People love him or hate him. He's a very unique personality as far as what he shows publicly. I get to know him like you. You know, you see a different side. It's like Bill Belichick. People think Bill Belichick is the guy that stands at the podium, or Nick Saban is the guy that stands at the podium. And then you get around him and get to know him, and you're like, wow, you're a really good guy. You know, I really like hanging out with this guy. But they choose not to show necessarily that guy all the time when they're at a podium. So I like Jim. I always have. I think he's what he's created at Michigan. I really think if I were a head coach in college football with the tornado of NIL and transfer portal and the five-star recruits, often from what I hear from coaches, you know, it's not about the tradition of the school. It's what's the NIL? How much are you paying me? This school was going to pay me this. And if I look at Michigan, and I don't know their business, I don't know if they do collectives. I have no idea.
They do.
I just know by the when I watch the players. When I look at Michigan, is kind of like when I look in the NFL, and I'm not comparing, you know, their talent to the 49ers. But it reminds me of San Francisco in that, you know, you look at Brock Purdy and he wasn't the first pick overall, but man, does he fit in perfectly with what they do offensively? You know, and I know McCaffrey's a freak and Ayuk, and they have really, really good players, George Kittle, but I just love the way they play the game and this era of spread and, you know, 11 personnel and receivers getting out in space. They can do that, but they prefer to pound you into oblivion and then go play action off of that. And Michigan does it kind of the old fashioned way, you know, and I'm an old fashioned guy. So I like that they play good defense. I like that they run the football. I like that they get into two tight ends and they get a fullback in Max Bredesen who knocks you out. Like I like that style of football. And I think the margin of error with that style. Now you got to hit on your linemen. You got to hit on your tight ends. You know, you need a cerebral quarterback that's going to distribute and make good decisions. And if he's got some athletic ability to get away from some trouble, that helps. But I think their brand of football in this day and age of having to bribe high school five-star receivers, I'd rather go this route personally. I'd rather go, you know, play this brand of football. That's the route I would go if you could.
Well, and I'd be remiss if before I let you go, ask you this and then one more about professional football, since you've seen most of the teams in the league right in front of you with Al Michaels to your side. I know every Buckeye friend that I have would love to know your thoughts on the state of the Buckeye program and what you think is going on there right now or should.
Kirk. Well, I like Ryan. I know him. I know what he's about. I think this has been hard on him, obviously. I mean, when you go 11-0 and you lose to Michigan and you're getting ridiculous treatment from your fans, it's not just, oh, man, they got to beat Michigan. It's just, you know, it gets personal and the attacks, I think, for him and his family, I know are not something he signed up for, but he understands it. Here's the thing that I think Ohio State has to look in the mirror and you have to adjust, you know, go back to where Jim Harbaugh was 4, 5, 6 years ago. I mean, in 2020 during COVID, there were, you know, they made some adjustments to his contract. Some of their own fans were getting frustrated. And to his credit, he made some moves. I mean, Don Brown was at time, you know, before that, Don Brown was a hero. Mm-hmm. And they had to make some very difficult decisions. And he got younger on his staff and they got faster in some key spots. And they adjusted. So, and Alabama's going to try to adjust. And Georgia, you know, everybody adjusts. I think with Ohio State, the adjustment is they recruit on a national level, you know, and they get great individual talent. And I think if there's one thing that right now has gotten away from them a little bit is our players, is everybody pulling the rope together? You know, is it a bunch of individuals that they're trying to talk into understanding about Ohio State and Ohio State's history, or is it a landing spot for 3 years to propel them into the NFL? Like that's what they have to face. Recruiting great talent is one thing, but trying to get them to buy into being a great team and playing for Ohio State is got to be the number one thing. And the NFL should be a big goal of yours, and it's great. NIL should be a big goal of yours. That's great. But it's not in front of what we're doing as a team. And that's what they've got to figure out. If they're already in a good place there, then so be it. But that to me is, if you look at them, you know, they against Michigan, that's the thing that has stood out, especially the last couple of years, is while Michigan plays for each other. Like there's tears in the eyes of Aiden Hutchinson because of what this game, his senior year, meant to him. All that he put in to not just being a great individual player that would go on to be an early draft pick and play for the Lions, but walking off that field at the Big House and beating Ohio State and the tears coming down his face, like that matters. And then he leaves, and then the next group of guys take it on. And so, you know, if you're playing backyard football and picking Ohio State and Michigan players, you're going to pick a lot of Ohio State players. But right now, to the credit of Michigan, they have a team concept. Now, can you maintain it? That's the challenge, right? That's what Georgia faces. That's what Alabama faces. That's what Clemson is, you know, going through. That's the real challenge. Is it's one thing to get up there and get it, but can you lose class after class after class and keep that team, that us, as the priority? That, to me, that's the greatest challenge of the elite in college football, is the consistency of doing that.
Well, it may be tough for Michigan to maintain it if you and Al Michaels are going to be calling Jim Harbaugh coaching the Chargers on Thursday Night Football next year. So my last question for you is on that front. Let's put your Amazon hat on. The best team you saw on Thursday night that you think will have the best chance to win it all is what?
Well, I would say Baltimore and San Francisco are the two teams that kind of jumped out to me. And I know we've already seen that game, but just as far as when Al and I were traveling and doing all of our games, just obviously Lamar is Lamar. I mean, not having Mark Andrews, by the way, and Lively stepping up has been tremendous. And he's healthy. He looks great. Keep in mind, J.K. Dobbins is down too. I mean, you got two of their better players on offense. They're still doing it. John does such an amazing job. I would say Baltimore, right, obviously up there, especially after what they've done these last 2 weeks. And I just still think San Fran has it in them to win the NFC. I wouldn't be surprised at all for that to be a rematch in the Super Bowl.
Well, I've enjoyed everything that you've been doing, man, including, you know, Get College Game Day, and also what you're doing repping the Rose Bowl. It means so much to me and everybody. You know everybody that works at the Rose Bowl, obviously, and, you know, you're now a Hall of Famer for the Rose Bowl game and what you represent. And obviously, you and I and everyone else can band together when Stephen A. talks about moving that game to, if you will, hold on a minute, hold on a minute, let a naysayer know. Right, we can lank it. we can let them know to keep it in Pasadena. You know what I'm saying, Kirk?
That's ridiculous. I'm trying to get the Rose Bowl to host the national championship every year. He's trying to get the Rose Bowl to go to SoFi. I don't know, man.
No.
That's pretty wild.
It's nothing like it when the colors change in the top of the stadium, beyond the stadium, and then again, game starts in the daylight, ends at night. Like when the lights go down, you're in a theater. And you know the show is really about to start. Third quarter, there you are in front. Yeah. I mean, like, look at it. I know it's old school, and you know some renovations are coming. There's no place like it, man. It really is no place like it. Period.
I've been lucky enough to walk the grounds at Augusta National just a handful of times, and I go to Churchill every year. But when it comes to the tradition and the history, there's nothing. And I go to all these NFL stadiums, and they're beautiful. I love all these new SoFi is beautiful. Vegas, beautiful. All these stadiums are awesome. But there's nothing like the Rose Bowl. And to their credit, they continue to do renovations. It's tough to get in, tough to get out. You just kind of, when you go to the Rose Bowl, you're not really caught up in that. You know, you're kind of caught up in the magnitude of the event. I always say the only thing missing at the opening kickoff is Steven Spielberg with a megaphone saying action. You know, I mean, because it has that kind of feel. So it's as good as there is. I hope they don't touch it. I hope as the world changes around us in college football, I hope we secure that tradition and that history for people that understand it. And when people from the SEC come out there, because they're like, listen, we're Sugar Bowl people. What's this Rose Bowl stuff? And then they leave and they're like, yeah, we get it. We get it. You know, so it's a great event, and I'm honored, man, honored to have gotten to a point where I have been able to call so many of them, and never take that for granted one single time. That's it's like a 12-year-old kid calling that game every year. I get to call it.
Well, have a great time with Fowler, and you know the rest of the gang. Say hi to Reese and Pat and Corso, and obviously Desmond. He always had me at hello.
You got it.
Have a great time on Monday, and great season, brother. Great season.
Thanks, my man. Keep up the great work. Enjoy the stretch run to the Super Bowl. Love watching you.
And thanks, pal.
Good luck to your squad Monday night. Should be a great one. Hope it's an instant classic.
Me too. And I again look forward to having you in my living room on Monday night. Thanks for the time, Kirk.
All right, buddy. Take care.
That's Kirk Herbstreit, everybody. Right here. Oh, I didn't bring up his dog, his sweet Ben. You know, his boy. All right. Now the juices are flowing.
Nerve check
is, I want it to start now.
Right. Well, you're not even playing in it, so.
You know, I'm not playing.
Imagine how the kids feel.
Oh, my goodness. Gracious.
If you think you're nervous.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. What's more likely on the other side? Our Friday staple is next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back, and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store, and use my code EISEN. Seattle is hosting New Orleans in a playoff game.
Correct.
Up in Seattle.
And we played them earlier. And so the first thing in the morning when I get up is I have a waffle, you know, the whipped cream, strawberries, and I'm flipping through the networks trying to get either ESPN or NFL Network. Who's going to give me the forecast? There's NFL Network. I got it. I'm eating my waffle, and they pan down on Russell Wilson and Drew Brees throwing a football on the field in their grays. I'm going to tell you where I'm supposed to be at that moment when they're throwing a football. I am supposed to be meeting with the officials, discussing the inactives, all right, and getting ready to say the Lord's Prayer and give our players a pep talk. That's where I'm supposed to be. When I run to the shower, call my assistant, can't get him. The waffle is spilled on the floor. I get back. My assistant says, "Hey, what's up?" And I said, "When did the buses leave? No one called." He said, "Coach, the buses haven't left yet." They had taken B-roll from the Monday night game.
Someone in the tape room ran the wrong tape.
Can you imagine? I text Falk. He's on set with Rich. I said, "What are you guys doing?" I had a cow. Like, I'm telling you, you have no idea. We're talking about being like, this is the divisional playoff game, not being there for the kickoff. As the head coach. That's how late I was.
And Sean, just Marshall showing me the text. We went back and forth.
I arrived. This guy now is live on the field. And peek out at the stadium only because of the conditions, and I take a look, and Rich says, good to have Sean Payton here at the stadium on time. Just some sly comment that not one person's going to understand until we tell this story.
Amazing.
Our entire almost 10-year archive of the show is sitting on our YouTube page. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I'm assuming it's Mike Hoskins, our coordinating producer. Somebody put a fresh new copy of my Grainger read.
Oh.
It's been sitting here on the desk. I've been, you know, it was totally torn. Look how fresh it is.
Nice.
I feel like a top of the new year.
Is
cards
it the
are all
same?
Set.
Is the
it's the same copy. It's the same. They haven't changed. It's just a new piece of paper with a new
nice.
New card. So thank you. I feel fresher.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. let's go to Gene in Texas. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Gene?
Gene.
Hey, Rich. How you guys doing today?
I'm good. How are you,
brother? Gene. Let me tell you something.
I'm good, but that 2-point call is still burning me as a Lions fan. So I just had to pop a few things at you to see what you thought.
Sure.
One, to clarify something that Brad Allen put out there in his answer to the Pool Reporter's question.
Mm-hmm.
He claimed that Dan Skipper had been, quote, however he said, checking in as eligible all game long. That's incorrect. He did it once, and it was in the first quarter.
I know, and the league put together a video that they sent to all member clubs this past week, reminding everyone it's on the players to clearly report as eligible with hand signals, and it does appear verbal as well, and they showed the time that Skipper checked in as eligible earlier in the game, and it looked he was doing the same hand movements and running off from the field to the head official, Brad Allen, same thing that he did later on, but apparently he wasn't verbally checking in. And I think the league is pointing out, hey, you know, you did it earlier, and so the official assumed you were doing it again, but we all know what assumptions mean, Gene.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. I agree with you there. The other part of this is a fun one. Y'all are familiar with how, of course, Roger Goodell gets incessantly booed at the draft every year.
Yes, indeed. He's going to Detroit this year.
Yeah,
so,
he is. And the other side part of it is I think it's in the third or the fourth round. The teams are allowed to start sending out a player or a super fan or somebody to announce their pick.
Usually around the second they'll do that. Yeah. And then the super fans pop out in the last day, usually.
How about, I know the Sun God announced a pick in Kansas City last year for the Lions. So how about this time, can we maybe send out two people and maybe 68 and 70 come out for the Lions?
Oh.
Together.
So that would be great is if Taylor Decker and Dan Skipper are the ones who come out with Roger Goodell and make their hands on their chests movement.
Yeah, and
report
and
is eligible.
Decker comes up and says, you know, reporting for duty, and Skipper just stands there and says nothing.
That sounds more a Keegan-Michael Key move on NFL Honors opening monologue night is what it sounds like to me than the commissioner doing that at the draft. I think Roger, because, you know, and thanks for the call, Gene. Greatly appreciate
that's
that.
Funny.
You know, Roger does bring what I like to say, human shields out on the stage with him to start the draft.
Doesn't matter.
I think it was Eddie George and who else did he bring in Tennessee?
Oh, I don't remember.
Because
last year in Kansas City, he brought Stone Street out.
It was, I think it was Tim McGraw came out with him because he was performing. And last year it was Mahomes and Kelsey and Eric Stone Street and Kristen Schaal, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
So who's in Detroit? What are we going to do? It'll be Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders. Eminem?
Eminem.
You really think
Sanders.
You think Mr. Mathers is going to come out? And he'll
why not?
Why not?
And he'll just do this?
But then he's going to flip it on, right?
Just stare.
You gotta be careful.
I don't think he's going to be within 8 miles of that place.
Hey, thank you.
He's a Lions super
fan. I understand that.
And he's one of the biggest stars on the planet.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, right?
Could it be Stafford bringing the Super Bowl trophy with him?
Papa Doc will come out.
That'll be a tough one.
Clarence.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. All right, let's get to it. It is our Friday staple. What's more likely, presented by Carnival Cruise Line? Hit it.
What? What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, this better be special.
Wow.
You've been called up to the Lido deck.
Hey.
What's up?
I'll go on a cruise right now. Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Friday.
Same.
Everybody good?
What up, though?
Yeah, we're good.
Yes. Who's the more likely AFC North QB to be a starter in 2024? Mason Rudolph or Joe Flacco?
Really? Oh, God. I think Flacco's earned himself a starting gig, don't you think?
In Cleveland?
For their team? You said who's going to be a starter?
No, a starter.
For their team? Or anywhere?
It doesn't say
anywhere.
It doesn't say for your team.
I would say Joe Flacco is going to be a starter somewhere to start the season next year. How is he not?
Where's the spot?
I don't know. Who the hell knows?
Mason Rudolph could start for his own team. Probably should have been.
I don't know. Maybe there'll be a team that drafts a rookie quarterback that just needs a bridge. Who's better bridging than this guy? Right now, he's bridging the Cleveland Browns from a completely lost season like the ones the Jets and Vikings are undergoing because of their quarterback's Achilles tendons, and he's bridging it to a damn near Super Bowl run. So I would take that guy.
If Flacco wins a Super Bowl for both Cleveland teams, he's a Hall of Famer.
Both Cleveland teams. Don't disrespect Baltimore fans like that. But I understand what you're saying.
They were the Browns.
I understand what they were, and that's the whole point about Flacco in Baltimore in a divisional playoff weekend is what we call must-see television, as if other divisional games are not. But so that's my – I'll say it's Flacco.
All right.
Tune in September.
They're balling.
Or really March, I guess. Yeah, what else?
For sure. NFC South team with the best chance to beat the Eagles on wild card weekend. Bucks, Saints, Falcons.
Oh, Bucks. Bucks.
You watched them play last week.
I did. Watched them play last week, okay. But they're not playing the Saints. They're playing the Eagles, right?
On wild card weekend.
I would take the Buccaneers in that one. You know, again, I don't think the Bucs are losing in Tampa, and I mean in Carolina. I don't think that's going to happen. And I think I would place them in terms of their best abilities to beat the Eagles. Bucs, who have a ton of people who have played in playoff, you know, games and things of that nature. Not that they're the Saints are off the turnip truck here. But I would take the Bucs over the Saints and the Falcons to beat the Eagles. That's the most likely team with the best chance. And I think they're going to get it. How dare you? What do you think I'm going to say?
I don't know.
And you know what? Jalen Hurts is another one of my children.
I like to say.
So, okay, what else?
All right, who's more likely to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, C.J. Stroud or Puka Nacua?
I'll go with Puka Nacua right now. I think this is. I think if Stroud doesn't win this game in Indianapolis, it'll be Nacua. I think the last month where he unfortunately got concussed and I think that's on the line.
Puka's going to set the
Sunday
rookie receiving
night.
Record.
I think he has been consistently brilliant, and C.J. Stroud unfortunately in the first couple weeks went 0-2, and then the last month he got hurt. He wasn't out there. And the buzz does matter in this award. Question, who's the third one up there? Where do you put the third one? Does Tank Dell go up there? Because he was really good for those 10 weeks.
Yeah, good question.
You know, I don't know who's the third one. You know?
Let's see.
Is it Zay Flowers, potentially? I mean, Jordan Addison's had some run.
Jameer Gibbs?
Oh, yeah. I think that's who it is.
Bijan? Who knows?
No, I think Jameer Gibbs. I think you nailed it there.
Sam Laporta.
Either one of them. Either one of those two. I got you.
Yeah.
But I'll go with Puka right now.
My guy.
By the way, CJ's got to play big back where he spun it at the combine and put himself on radar screens that clearly didn't make it to Carolina. So, what else?
Underdog this weekend to be the NFC playoff spoiler, Bears or Cardinals?
I'll go Bears. I've got something more to say about it later on in the program. This is big for Justin Fields, brother. If he wants to stay, and he's got a big closing statement opportunity, pal.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to win this game.
To stay?
Correct.
It would help.
It would. Yes, it would help. I would agree with that. But I just don't know, man. And the Cardinals aren't playing this game in Pennsylvania, are they?
No, I don't, okay. I don't think so. But.
Take a look at their wins this year. Just weird. The teams that they beat this year, both teams in Pennsylvania.
Cowboys?
The Cowboys. Right?
Yeah.
So
there's only four of them.
Yeah, and I think the Bears are a better team. So and this is a rivalry game, unlike Seattle at Arizona. So I'll go with the Bears in this one. They're playing really well, consistently well for the last 2 months. Eberflus has saved his gig.
Eberflus.
What else?
Seems like it. Although Adam Schefter's, you never know.
Okay.
What he said the other day.
He said more than 10 potentially.
How about this? I think this could be a really fun game. NFC West backup QB.
Wentz?
To throw for 300
versus
and two
Darnold.
Tutties. Wentz, Darnold.
Get out of here.
This game is going to be awesome.
Can I? I'm insulted that I'm being asked this question right now. Really?
Why?
Are you out of? I mean,
two top of the draft picks.
Okay.
Guys who could be starters.
Okay.
By the way, who might have to play in the playoffs?
All right.
Because their quarterbacks ahead of them have injury history.
Understood. I'll go Sam Darnold. What else?
Wow. They could former could have been Jet superstars.
Understood.
Either one.
Thank you. Thank you.
You want me to keep going?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm finished with that one.
All right.
That one, I just didn't like it. What's more likely?
Wow.
Me liking that or not?
Wow.
The answer is not.
That's going to be a great game.
Okay.
Quarterback to be in a
They're locked in at one, and the Rams are essentially locked in at six. So what else?
They're auditioning for gigs next year.
Okay. I got it.
Care about young people's futures, Rich.
Okay.
Come on now. QB to be on a new team next season.
Yes.
AFC West, Russell Wilson or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Russell Wilson and Jimmy Garoppolo both are on new teams next year.
Are they starting next year somewhere?
Are they starting next year somewhere? Oh, yeah. You're the guy on the right, that's Jimmy Garoppolo right there. He's the New England Patriots starting quarterback to start 2024.
Really?
What's so hot about it? While you break in your new drafted quarterback.
Maybe in the second round. If the Pats take a QB at three or four, he's starting, whoever that person
is. Or the Pats don't like one of the quarterbacks at three and four, or they think that that's too much of a reach. And there's Jimmy G will be signed already by then. He will already be there by then.
Ooh.
Already be in the building with an opportunity to know that he's going to be the starting quarterback for them in week one. After they try to break in either one of the national championship game quarterbacks in the second round that they draft because they don't feel that they're ready.
Maybe
Jaden Daniels isn't ready and Jimmy G's there as the backup.
One of those guys throwing to
Marvin
Harrison?
Because it ain't going to be Zappy and it ain't going to be Mac.
No chance.
That's a much more reasonable one than Russell. Where's Russ going to start? In Chicago because they don't think Caleb's ready?
Atlanta?
Pittsburgh? I don't think so. Pittsburgh? Get out of town.
He's better than
get out of town, and I mean it. To go full Steve Levy, I'll go Jimmy G. They're both on new teams next season.
All right, a couple.
And if you're asking me who's more likely to be a Week One starter, I'll go Jimmy Garoppolo.
Interesting.
Yeah. What else?
Interesting. All right. What's more likely, Tyreek Hill?
I even called the place.
I mean, kudos to you.
And you can't even argue back because you know he's like Brian Hoyer 2.0. You can't quit him.
He's much younger and much better.
I know that, and by the way, more talented. I get it.
Tyreek Hill gets his 248 yards to set the all-time receiving record, or the Jets and Patriots combine for 248 yards of total offense.
That's a good one.
Because that game is going to be garbage.
Excuse me, sir. I watched Bailey Zappe air it out in Denver. Okay? All right. I'll go Tyreek Hill gets his record.
Am I reading this right?
Why not? You don't think they're going to try for it, too?
Yeah. Why wouldn't
they? Think
they also need him to win the game.
Need it.
Yeah, to win.
How about him in a walking boot?
On Sunday night.
I think it is more likely that the Jets and Patriots have more than 248 yards. If you're saying that's it, it's more likely Tyreek gets the yardage. Because I believe in Bailey Zappe more than you do, pal. Zappy New Year. Is it too late to say that?
You're as delusional as I am.
Is it too late to wish you as the zappiest of New Year's?
I'll say it to you in June.
Thank you, sir.
Now I'm ready to move on. All right, last one.
Yes.
Hand over your heart. Who's more likely to have played their final game with their current team after Sunday, Derrick Henry or Bill Belichick?
Ooh.
Wow. I'll go Derrick Henry. I'll go Derrick Henry. I don't think Bill's out, bro.
Again, I'm cool. I'm cool with Bill back as head coach.
How do you tell him you're done as a coach here? He is truly the greatest. I understand that.
that's why.
It's because of the roster, and the which I understand he has a hand.
3 years have been pretty awful.
I get it. I'll go with the running back over 30 instead of the GOAT over 70. How does that sound?
Fair.
That's what's more likely. Presented by Carnival Cruise Line. Plan your next vacation with Carnival to explore beautiful destinations with exciting excursions and blissful relaxation. No one does fun like Carnival. That's what's more likely right here, brought to you by our friends at Carnival Cruise Line. We'll take a break. Phone calls 844-204-RICH. Number to dial here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Welcome back.
I'm sorry. Thank
Rich
you. Oh, nice.
Show.
I like it. I
like
back
it. On the radio.
I know, but that's fine. It's a rejoin anyway. I don't mind it.
Let him do his
He's
thing.
He's trying to get me fired.
I know. Let him
I'm
do
trying
his
to help
thing.
Him out.
Our friend, Josiah Johnson, is so funny.
He's quick.
Dude.
Quick.
I'm just seeing right now the his tweet, Cat Williams to all the comedians playing with his name, and the video he's using is Michael Clemens of the Jets effing off all the Browns fans from a couple of Thursday nights ago.
That's funny.
Which, by the way, is truly my favorite video of the entire National Football League season. I laugh. Have you seen this video?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but
Did he get fined for this, by the way?
You lost the game, so what was so...
I know, but it's just... I don't know why I find it so funny of him just looking at the Browns fans in Cleveland while they're down. They're getting their asses handed to him. And he's pointing to him. Everyone, you got to seek it out. We can't play it for you, not only because it's in the stadium, but you can clearly see he's
mouthing the words.
Right, the
yeah.
FU.
Yeah.
He's pointing to fans. And a couple of them, the best ones, he's like smiling. And then tells them, you know, hey, waving them like he's having a good time with them.
Like,
and
hey,
then he tells them, F you. And then the one is like, he can't get the attention of the one he intends to F off. He tells someone, no, not you. No. That one. Yeah, you. Oh, my God.
It's very good.
I've shown it to my children.
Ooh.
It's that funny.
Wow.
And they can't get enough of it either. And I know that might put my best dad ever in jeopardy. But I would push back. I would say, actually, this is good. But that Cat Williams interview was quite something, huh?
Man, oh man,
it was on Shannon's.
Shay-Shay.
Okay. All right.
Whoa.
Yeah,
I kept watching like a bunch of clips, and I was like, "This is 3 hours. I'm not watching this. I watched it."
Yep. Good one.
Yep.
Game time tickets. Get a mobile device and download the app right now. Put it on your phone because any sports, music, comedy, theater event near you or around the country you want to go check out tickets to, You can find it, and you can get the low price you're looking for. And there's flash deals, zone deals, last-minute ticket deals. It's easy to find and buy the tickets for every kind of event in your area. You get to see the views from all seats in the venue before you buy. You get the all-in pricing before you buy, so you see your total up front. Deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, even an hour after it starts. So it's the perfect place for last-minute tickets and to remove the guesswork out of buying tickets. That's Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, R-I-C-H, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Al in Dallas, how are you, sir? Happiest of New Year's. What's going on?
Happy New Year to you guys. Welcome back. That Cat Williams interview was definitely not safe for work or home.
I know, right? I know.
I'm shocked, actually. You let somebody. RIP David Soul. Don't give up on us, baby.
Oh, really?
In Hush fame.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, Don't Give Up on Us, Baby was a big hit back in the 45 days. Remember those, Rich?
I do. Rhinestone Cowboy was my 45 of choice when I was about 7 years old, by the way.
And the A-track, by the way. Old A-track. Mm-hmm. Look, Richard, when it comes to the national championship game, I'm looking for the best of both worlds. I mean, I'm not a Michigan guy, but I have some rooting interest for you. I want to see you happy. I know it makes Brockman's skin crawl, but I want to see you happy. But I also want to see Michael Penix light it up so the Giants get convinced to draft Penix.
But they're not going to draft him fifth overall, Al. You don't want him to light it up for various reasons. One of them, it would make me unhappy. And then two, you want him to drop to the second round so he's there for you. That's what you'd like.
I don't see him going that far down.
But you really want to draft him fifth overall, Al? You really want to do that? Like, and they're not going to do it. Like, that's not happening. Al,
can I
help you? Can I help you for a second, Al, because I love you.
Please.
Okay?
Please.
Al. You need to do whatever it takes, whatever it requires for you to get this into your life and understand it and try and be cool with it, even though you won't. I don't know if it requires copious amounts of alcohol, any sort of psychotropic material. I don't know.
I'm not into psychotropic stuff.
Daniel Jones is going to be your quarterback next year. It's going to happen. He is going to be the Giants' quarterback. They will not quit him, and that's it. Now, they may draft one in the second, third, or fourth round to get ready for a post-Jones era, but that's it. He's going to be the guy in New York wearing blue as soon as he is healthy to do it. Period. End of story. So, you know it. That's why you're making that noise right now.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's it. So, I'm sorry to say it.
No me gusta. But I'm not disagreeing with you. You're 100% right. You are the man. You know it. But it's just, I can't.
I know.
It's tough. It's tough pill to swallow. It's tough.
Take care, Al. Thanks for the call.
Good luck. Good luck.
You bet. Thank you. You and I know it. You know it, too, even though you think that that is the New York Giants quarterback. His name is Daniel Jones.
When?
Next year, as soon as he is healthy. And it's entirely possible he'll be healthy in time for the season.
Unlikely. Okay.
Why? Because of his knee? He's rehabbing his knee?
He stinks, and they know they made a mistake giving him all that money.
But all that money is $40 million a year, which is middle-tier quarterback in the NFL right now. That's it.
Let's see.
Oh, yeah. There's rookie deals, and then there's the astronomical deals. And then there's the $40 million deals right there in the middle. You know? And they're going to be even $40 million a year is going to be even lower.
He's 12th in the league in average.
There you go. So
he makes the
16,
same as
16
Prescott
is the middle of the road.
And Matt Stafford.
Well, not for long. NFL, not for long. So, but Penix might be there in the second round. They may draft a second round, third round quarterback, and then that guy will be there and will be the most popular New York Giant after Saquon Barkley. Book that.
That's true.
Tom Pelissero coming up in hour number three. So much to talk with him about and with you at 844-204-RICH on a Friday. I don't know. And I don't know who the backup quarterback for the Jets is going to be because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the starter. And this whole business, Zach Wilson has been, you know, still in the concussion protocol. No, he's not. Well, I shouldn't say that. Yes, he is. But it's a convenient place to put him because I believe this sounds like somebody in Zach Wilson who's been told, you're not coming back next year. And his parting gift from an organization that has occasionally turned to him too much and he wasn't ready for it and occasionally let him down. The parting gift from that organization is when you hit the open market, you will be healthy and we will make sure that you're not rehabbing something. You will be as healthy as a, you know, what, 24, 25-year-old person can be in the NFL, except the emotional and mental scars you may have from this experience. So that was their way of letting him hit that market. But I don't know who the backup's going to be. And it better be somebody damn near as old as Aaron Rodgers. Because this ain't going to be one of those, you know, training wheel situations. Because if he gets hurt again, that's the end of this. So there's all that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Hour number three here on this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Jokic and Justin Fields and Giannis coming up.